Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Selling out shows around Australia and racking up millions of streams, Cloning have emerged as one of Australia's most singular alternative rock acts. The band consists of Felix, Nick, and Jack. Developing a dedicated grassroots fan base over the years, Cloning have toured Australia nationally 3 times, with 3 EPs also in their wake in the form of 2019's Pillars of Salt, 2021's Wounded Healers, and most recently 2024's Fallout. The band have drawn praise from the likes of themusic.com.au, and in 2025 they release their debut album Vitriol. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Felix Parker from Cloning. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm in Perth, Western Australia.
So how does the name Cloning come to be? How did you guys decide on that?
It's not as sexy and romantic as most band name stories. Honestly, we just thought it was the catchiest thing. It's really hard to come up with a good band name. And so it was short, quick. No one else had taken it. So that was another thing too.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be creating in this world. Be in the music space, and then how did that lend to meeting the rest of the guys from the band and the band forming?
Yeah, I've been playing music most of my life. Since I was about 7, I've been playing guitar, and through high school I was playing drums and piano, and I think around 15 I got really into writing songs. So it's been a bit of a lifelong obsession. Most of the band have known each other since we were about 13. And then, so that's myself, Jack, our drummer, and Nick, the bass player. And then Bevan, our guitarist, we went to school with his cousin. So we met him when we were about 16, 17. And then after school, the band properly took shape.
From taking shape, what were the next steps to becoming sort of professional and really diving into the world?
I think we're still finding those steps.
Okay.
Because it is there's a sort of line. At some point, it stops being a hobby, basically. You still love doing it, but it's a job and it's serious, but you're still having fun. I think maybe when we put our first EP out, but I think as the band grows, you sort of get 100% necessity, you have to be more professional about it. So you're trying to get more organized and more structured. We've got a really good calendar going at the moment, which is a game changer for us.
Okay, so now having this calendar in place and becoming more serious in it and involved in it, not that you weren't before, but with the seriousness, is there or are there any elements that were actually part of it now that are on the calendar that you actually thought, oh, I didn't realize that this would be part of it?
I mean, I don't think we necessarily realized how much coordination and admin would be involved in it, because you're working with different creatives like videographers and cover art designers and poster designers. But it's cool. It's fun, and it's different every day because you get to sort of work with people from different fields and kind of vibe off their own creativity.
And now, how do you guys create a song?
It's different every time. A lot of our songs do start with me and a chord progression and a vocal, and I'll go through heaps of them, and you do a bunch, and then a couple really stand out, and then we'll flesh those out as a band. We often sort of layer sounds a lot on a computer while we're kind of writing the songs as well.
Tell us about the latest single that's out and more about what's coming up.
Sure, yeah. So Just As You Are is our latest song. We wrote it just before we went on tour last year. And yeah, it's the first of a lot more songs we're releasing this year. So you'll have to keep an eye out. We've got some exciting things to announce and, yeah, more shows and touring.
You referenced more songs. Is it going to be a body of work of an EP again, or you're looking at creating a full album?
It's a body of work. Yeah. We're keeping it under wraps as to which one it is, but we're really excited about it. It's been a long time coming. So yeah, we're really looking forward to this next part of the year.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
Just the fan interaction is the best thing, especially Perth is quite far away from everywhere. So when you get on the road and you get to see all these strangers singing your songs, it's really special. And after the show, getting to meet them at the merch table and stuff is really cool. So that's my favorite part of touring.
Obviously, social media gives people a lens into your world. We love the fans. We know we love the fans. But has there ever been a situation when you've met someone? Because obviously, people and the fans often think, okay, we know you like your best friend because we see you every day. We know what you're doing. You know, it's a different sort of parameter being on the screen compared to when you interact or meet for the in-person for the first time. Has there ever been situations where it was like a fan was like, oh, I know you, you're my best friend. And you were like, okay, well, I haven't met you before. So is it always been natural and organic?
It's always been pretty natural. Our fans are pretty chill. They're kind of like similar to us, I think, in personality wise. So it just feels kind of pretty natural. And they're really respectful of time as well. I think we get a little bit awestruck ourselves when fans are really amazed and happy to meet us, because we don't walk around thinking we're particularly special people or anything. We're just writing songs, and it's a privilege for other people to really enjoy our art. But yeah, it's the most humbling, flattering thing for us when someone comes up and is really, really stoked to just say, hey, it's really surreal. Yeah, it's special.
I agree with you, because like in the society and in the world, there's a situation or perception that if a person has a label, whether it's band member, artist, rock artist, CEO, manager, head of whatever, there's always this perception, okay, they're separate to that other person. They're always on this sort of pedestal, and person over there thinks, okay, I need to interact with them differently to the way I would interact with everyone else. For me, I see that everyone uses two-ply toilet paper. There's no gold-plated toilet paper. If there was, people's backsides would be very sore. But I'm just saying, the concept is like the same way I interact with you is the same way I interact with person over there at the shop, a person over there who's participating in my spinning class. We're all equal. There's no labels. It's just who we are. So I totally get with what you're saying. It's just that a lot of people in the world have this conception that they need to change their behavior based on a label of another person.
Yeah, totally. It's a bit of a cult of celebrity in kind of the mass media at the moment. And I guess that's always been a trend throughout history. But yeah, it's interesting. And I think I don't really like that idea of people getting placed on pedestals. Yeah, everyone's equal. And it's really special people enjoying art and stuff. But I'd never want someone else to think that we're somehow above them or something just because we're popular.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. Being an independent, I'm not sure if you are aware. Well, first of all, I've loved the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous, that whole experience of the aesthetic. Massive uptick of physical around the world. Some stats. So in the UK, a couple of years ago, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. And then in the UK again, last year, there are a basket of products that they gauge daily for exchanges. There needs to be a high number of exchanges daily for a product to be in this basket. And then they monitor it for some other tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into this world, not necessarily the older, inverted commas, nostalgic people. Then we have streaming platforms that people consume music on. What is your observation of the landscape at the moment?
Yeah, we sell a lot of CDs to our fans. So, yeah, it's definitely true that I think people like having something physical they can hold it in their hands. I don't think streaming's going to go away, but I think that the physical media is definitely always going to have a place in popular culture and with music listeners as well.
You referenced earlier that it's still going to be uncovered whether you're going to be doing an album or an EP. But these days, a lot of artists are focusing on the EP and the single. They think, not that the album's not really relevant anymore, it's just that they think, okay, well, if it's going to be streaming, some of the songs will lose out because people just listen to their favorites. What are your feelings around having a single release, EP release, and a full body album release, understanding that you guys are still going to announce what's going to be happening?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think that with singles, EPs, and albums, it can really depend on what stage of your artist journey you're at. I think for us, especially doing more singles has been really helpful early on to kind of get those first few fans. But once you're sort of building that community, the experience of the longer release, I think, is really important. And it's just, yeah, definitely something to aim for. It's hard though, I think, at the same time, because I think a lot of people don't realize with artists, especially self-managed independent artists, how much work goes into it, especially now that the industry's changed and a lot of artists aren't necessarily on development deals with labels when they're coming up. They're doing it all themselves. So them trying to take the time as well to get that full body of work out there while they're also doing all the other stuff and often working jobs, it's hard. So I think that in some ways, yeah, singles can be an amazing way to just bridge that gap, because for a lot of people, it's just fundamentally not possible to get those longer releases when they're still starting out. But yeah, you keep growing. Trying to aspire to do the longer ones is definitely a good target, I think.
And it also needs to be an education piece for the listeners. I spoke to two groups of people a few months ago. The one group was around 8 people, the other group was 10 people. It was just at the gym. I teach spinning classes. There was a people in my pre to my class who was like hanging about. And I said to him, if an artist has had 100 million streams of a song, how much money do you think they got in their back pocket? Now, the first group of people said 50 million, and the second group of people said 1 million. And I said, well, no, actually, it's like 1,000. And they were shocked and horrified. So I think there also needs to be an education piece for the listeners who sort of listen to music, maybe go to concerts every now and then, not necessarily buy physical, but mainly stream, for them to understand that the exchange is quite low in the back pocket of the artist because you guys need to lay out money for studio, for the equipment, for the recording, for the photo, for the videographer, for the release, et cetera. And then it's not for free for you guys. And a lot of them are not paying anything for the music. So, like Snoop Dogg and Ray and a bunch of artists have been saying, okay, this is what's happening. So there is that conversation, but I think it needs to build up a little bit more for the listener to understand the circumstances of the energy exchange.
Yeah, it's tough when there's cost of living problems and people can't necessarily even afford the higher ticket music items. So it's a difficult situation at the moment, I think, for artists and music listeners alike.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question tomorrow, the next day, and the following day, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs of theirs, what songs would you play?
I do really love Where I End and You Begin by Radiohead. That's a great track. Nick Cave. Well, yeah, the Mercy Seat is a classic by him. I love that. King of the Mountain by Midnight Oil is a great song. slow dive, Hard to Come Up Maybe When the Sun Hits. That's really good song by them. Portishead, probably their song Roads. I love the drums on that track.
So Felix, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Thanks for tuning in from the Perth band Cloning, and I hope you dig our tunes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.